Well, good morning and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now, for several weeks now, Pastor Reynolds has been dealing with several arguments or misconceptions that people have with the idea of eternal security of the believer. Now, if you've missed any of these, then I would encourage you to go to our website at independencebaptist.org and check out the audio section. Now, from there, you'll be able to listen to all the prior broadcasts on this topic. But for now, let's go ahead and turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds as he continues with the discussion on eternal security.
Another question that is often asked in regard to the eternal security of the believer is found in the book of Hebrews 10, verse 28 through verse 29. The Bible says in this place, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Many people are troubled when they read this verse, for they say, "Well, this man was surely saved, because it says he was sanctified." But this does not necessarily prove that he was a saved man. The whole nation of Israel was sanctified by the blood of the covenant. In a certain sense, the whole world has also been sanctified by the blood of the cross. You see, if it were not for the blood that Jesus Christ willingly shed on Calvary's cross, the whole world would be doomed to eternal judgment. But because Jesus Christ has now died for the entire world, God says, "I can deal with all men on the ground of the blood of the cross." As we often put it, the great question between God and man is not primarily the sin question. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ answers for sin. But what is the great question? Listen, it is not the great sin question. It is the great Son question. How are you treating God's Son who died to save you? Christ has died for all men. His blood is shed for the salvation of every person. It will avail to every sinner in all the world if they will only trust Him. John 3, verse 18 through 19 states, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." Now, to illustrate this point, there is a Jewish person, a Hebrew person, who has followed along to a certain point. And now the question comes, "Will you confess this Christ as your one great sin offering, no matter what it means?" And he says, "No, I will not, I cannot do that. I am going back to the temple. There is a sin offering in the temple, and I will not have to suffer as I may if I confess Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior." The problem is that the Jewish person cannot do that. Why can't he go back into the temple to all of the laws and all the ordinances of the law of God? According to Hebrews 10, verse 26, the Bible states, "If we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." This sacrifice at the altar was commanded by God. God said, "If you sin, you must bring a sacrifice, and then and only then, I will accept you." All right now, this Jew says, "I have a sin offering, a burnt offering I will give." But he has met Jesus Christ, or he has heard of him as the great sin offering. He knows that God has accepted Jesus Christ, and he knows that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. He has all this knowledge, but having it all, he is afraid to come out definitively and confess Jesus Christ as his Savior. Instead, he says, I do not need the sin offering that Jesus Christ has given. Instead, he says, I will go back. I will be content with the sin offering of the temple. Before Jesus came, you see, that was acceptable because the sin offering pointed to Christ. But now Christ has come. If a person rejects Jesus Christ, there is no other offering at all. This passage, you see, has nothing to do with a saved person turning from Christ. But it does have to do with a man who is thoroughly instructed, who refuses to accept Jesus Christ. And there are many people that have refused to accept the sin offering that Jesus Christ has given to them for their eternal souls. Luke chapter 9, verse 61 and verse 62 is a similar situation. We find here, the Bible says, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. This would be a terrible thing if this were the way into heaven. There's many thousands of earnest, saved people who have allowed what they thought was the responsibility to the friends to keep them from fully following Christ. Suppose they went to heaven only on the ground of fully following him. You see, these Jews were looking for the kingdom. And many said, I will follow thee, but my friends have a claim on me. No, the Lord says, I must come first. That is his test of discipleship. But it is necessary to distinguish between salvation by grace and reward for faith discipleship. The rewards are connected with the kingdom. No matter how faithful I may be as a believer, it does not give me any better place in the kingdom of heaven than if I were taken there the moment I was saved. Understand what we're saying there. The rewards are connected with the kingdom. No matter how faithful I may be as a believer, it does not give me any better place in the kingdom of heaven than if I were taken there the moment I was saved. Suppose the very instant you were converted, you dropped dead. Would you have gone to heaven? Well, yes. I would go there based upon the fact of God's delight in the work of his Son. Now, suppose that you were saved some 50 years ago. There have been ups and downs in your life, but you have been saved all those years. But where would you go if now you died suddenly? You'd go to heaven, right? But on what ground? On the ground of God's delight in the work of his Son. There is not a bit of change in 50 years. But you say, I've been a wonderfully faithful, saved person. Well, have you indeed? I am surprised that you should think so. Because the more that we serve God, the more most of us feel how unfaithful we have been. But you might insist, I've been a very, very faithful, saved person. Well, does that make you any more fit for heaven than it did the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Well, you might ask, does faithfulness as a disciple go for nothing? It goes for a good deal, but it has no saving faith at all. You have a place in the Father's house on the ground of pure grace, but the Father's house is not the only thing before us. There is also the kingdom of God. Matthew 13:43 states, then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And here, that is, in the kingdom of God, there are many different rewards according to the measure of faithfulness in this life. You see, here is one whom the Lord has said, I want you to follow me to Africa or India or some other place. And the person says, O Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. I have an old father here and cannot bear to leave him as long as he lives. After he's dead, I am willing to follow thee. And the Lord says, let the dead bury their dead. Of course, if you have the responsibility of providing for your father, that will be a very different case. You see, it's because that the person has no faith or courage to make that break. Does that cause them to cease to be saved? He may stay home, sure. He may be of great value and great use. But when he comes to the judgment seat of Christ, there is a reward that he might have had that he will not have because he did not go the whole way with the Lord Jesus Christ. If going the whole way entitled men to heaven, none of us would ever get there. But as we go the whole way, as far as we understand, he is going to reward us. If people could learn to see the difference between salvation by grace and reward for service, this question would settle itself. 2 Peter 3 and verse 17 is another passage that people oftentimes confuse. The Bible says here, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There is always the possibility of a real saved person falling into temptation and sin. Therefore, we need to be warned again and again, and the Scripture does exactly that. How many we have known who at one time had a bright Christian testimony, but fell. They were not watchful. They were not prayerful, but they stumbled and they fell. Does that mean they are eternally lost? It doesn't mean that if they were really born again. If born again, they have received eternal life. And if people thus fall, that is where the restoring work of the Spirit of God comes in. David, King David, fell in a most terrible way. But he did repent. He did return unto the Lord. And he said to the Lord, forgive me of what I have done. And that is exactly what he did. Sometimes, in restoring people's souls, God has to put them through very bitter experiences. He loves them too much to let them be happy when away from him. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 18, is another scripture that teaches the same truth. The Bible said, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and have overthrown the faith of some. Some people might say, we see here the possibility of having our salvation overthrown. But that is not what Paul is talking about. He is speaking of the faith. Again, you must make the distinction. Our faith is that by which we believe. We believe God. That is faith. But we believe the truth that God has revealed to us. And that truth is the faith. And the faith is what has been overthrown in the mind of the professed believer. This is the same thing that you get in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Some real Christians do that. But what a blessed thing to know that it is the Lord that goes after them and never, never gives up on them.
You know, we are very glad that you're able to listen this morning, and we do want to let you know about some special services that we're going to be having at Independence Baptist Church. Now, starting Wednesday, February 17th, we'll be having our yearly Bible Institute, and during that week, on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night, we'll be having two guest speakers. The services each night will begin at 7 p.m. In addition to the night services, we're also going to be holding two morning services on Thursday and Friday morning, starting at 10 a.m., and we greatly encourage you to come by and join us for services at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Again, that's the week of February 17th. We do want to thank you again for listening, and we look forward to next Sunday's discussion about eternal security of the believer.